The following podcast is from the weekly message at Summit Church in Upstate South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
I don't know if we have any guests with us today. If we do, my name is Jason. I'm one of the pastors and elders here at Summit, and we're thrilled that you're hanging out with us. But if you're a regular, it's great to see you. Thanks for coming in today. And it is, to Brett's point, it is fantastic to be able to be in the air conditioning. I wanted to say a couple of things before we get started. I wanted to say thank you to the team that's been working behind the scenes just to allow us to be able to get into the building. You walk in and you see X's in certain spots, and you see how things are set up outside, and there was a lot of logistical thought that went into us being able to be inside today. And I might talk about that a little bit more in a moment, but I just want to thank the team for that. And showing up early. They're here early anyway, even when we have 10 o'clock services. So they're here real early when we're doing 9 o'clock services. So thank you to the team. We greatly appreciate you sacrificing your time and being in here early today. Had the opportunity to kind of think through what I wanted to do today because, one, we're kicking off a brand new series next week. And online, we're wrapping up a series that we've been in on the Sermon on the Mount. And I could have jumped in and wrapped up the Sermon on the Mount today here, but Kyle Estep has already prepared that message, and it is online and in your inbox. And so at your convenience, we would love for you to give that a listen. I wanted the opportunity, if I could, in this setting, which is just a whole lot easier, honestly, to communicate and just talk, to, if I could, offer a few words of encouragement. Call it pastoral encouragement, if you would like. That in the midst of everything that has gone on in the last, what is now 20 weeks, which is hard to believe, I wrote our staff team this morning and said, this is the first Sunday I've been in pants in 20 weeks. And so it's been quite the run. You know, it's hard to believe that it's been that long. And there's been a lot of hard things. There's been some frustrating things. There's been some sad things that we've all experienced and walked through over the last 20 weeks. And there's also been some incredibly, I would say, encouraging things. And a few weeks ago, I wrote an email to the entire Summit family. And I articulated a few ways that my heart has been encouraged. And then like a week after that, I wrote just the leaders of Summit, those that are life group leaders and deacons. And I shared with them a few things that, while I have been encouraged, there's a few things that I'm continuing to pray about every day and ask them to join me and the other elders and pastoral staff team in praying these things. And it's interesting because they kind of go together. The ways I've been encouraged, I'm still continuing to pray about every day. And I kind of wanted to walk through those with you this morning because I want to ask you, as people who are a part of the Summit family, one, I want to let you know how we're praying in leadership. Two, I want to ask that you would join us in prayer about the things that we're praying through in conjunction with the things that we're encouraged by. Here's the first thing that's been encouraging to me. I have been encouraged to observe and see that our mission at Summit is more than a statement. Early on, Summit kind of got a reputation for their mission statement. And all I mean by that is we said it a lot, and we still do, and we said it on purpose. And if you've been with us for any length of time, you know we exist to give every man, woman, and child the repeated opportunity to see, hear, and respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ without them having to come or go anywhere. And we say it a ton. And I remember Kip Kelly, our executive pastor, he worked at another church in town for many years, and then he had taken a break from pastoral ministry, and him and his wife came to visit Summit early on when we were getting started. And so he was a regular attender. He wasn't on staff with us, and I just wanted to get to know him, and so I took him out to coffee to hear a little bit more of his story. And he said, on the day that we had coffee, he said, hey, I want to let you know something as a guy who's been on a pastoral team. And he said, I'm not trying to bash the church that I was a part of, but we never really knew exactly where we were headed. We were kind of all over the place. He said, it was really refreshing because as I sat in my first service when I came to Summit, you guys, in some way, shape, or form, articulated the mission of what you're about 9 different times in about an hour and 15 minutes. And he said that was incredibly refreshing. I think it has served us well as a church, as a local church, it has served us well in this moment that we have a statement that is about actually being the church and not just doing church. And I'm super thankful for it. I've observed it. I have seen it. I think we're living in a moment when it's easy to convince ourselves that posting something on social media is the same as actually doing something. And I love hearing, observing, and seeing, talking to life group leaders, talking to those that are part of the Summit family, talking to our staff team, of intentional ways that so many of our folks are actually being the church. Even though the gathering has looked different than it's ever looked for us. I love that. I love how you're serving other people. Here's how I would say it. I love how you are thinking about how do I serve people that I actually have relational capital and influence with. Through intentionally investing in their lives and walking with them through the difficulties of life. All the while offering gospel hope in their midst. I know you're doing that. I know you're doing it for one another in your own home. I know husbands and wives are doing that for one another. I know that in the season that we've been in, there are days that it just, everything feels a little weightier and a little harder. And wives are ministering to husbands, and husbands are ministering to wives, and moms and dads are ministering to kids, and kids are ministering to moms and dads. And that neighbors are ministering to neighbors. And that even within this local church family, that people are caring for one another, checking in on one another. I want to say something as frank as I can. What has been one of the most difficult things, what's been one of the most difficult things over the last 20 weeks is not being able to see everybody on a Sunday like regular and know how they're doing. Does that make sense? We've never been about a gathering, and at the same time, I would never say that what we do in this isn't incredibly important. Maybe some of us have taken for granted what a 15-minute conversation before or after a worship service can actually mean in connecting with somebody to look them in the eyes and to see how they're doing, and then maybe to have a follow-up conversation because it's obvious in that 15 to 20 minutes that things aren't going too great for them. And I just love that you guys have been intentional about trying to be creative in the ways that you're staying connected with one another. And I love that you're taking the opportunity in what is the midst of a volatile, I'll use the word volatile. All I mean by that is everyone is so crazy opinionated. And I'm not just bashing on social media. I use social media. But when you go off on social media, you're just screaming into a vacuum. You're screaming into a vacuum. But when you think about ways that you can intentionally love the people that you have influence with and have relational capital with, that actually makes a difference in people's lives. So I want to thank you for the observation that our mission is more than a statement. At the beginning of 2020, I was asking the Spirit to show me where to hang out in the Scriptures. So end of December, going into January. Hey, Lord, where should we spend time this year? Not sermon series we're doing or anything. Like, where should we just hang out? For my own encouragement and for my own growth. And we landed on 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus. A few letters from the Apostle Paul to some pastors. And I had no idea, obviously, of how 2020 would play out. But I can't tell you, like, God's sovereignty in leading me every day to be in the Word in this place, these places, where the Apostle Paul is offering these words of encouragement to these young pastors. It has provided me with so much encouragement and challenge, practical advice, counsel. If you have your Bibles or on your mobile device, I'd love you to open it up this morning. I just want to go to a couple different verses that I've been meditating and thinking upon, actually in regards to things I've been encouraged by and things that I'm continuing to pray. You can open up to 1 Timothy chapter 1. And Paul says something real interesting early on to Timothy. In verse 5, he says, the aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. right? The aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. So Paul to Timothy, as you pastor and walk with this group of people, and obviously Paul's constantly addressing horrible teaching that's kind of infiltrating the church, false teaching that's out there, different things people are saying and all this kind of thing. He looks at this young pastor and he says, the aim of our charge as we walk with people and as we shepherd people and lead people and love people is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. And if you're like me, as I read through that, you know, one of the things I just noted early on in 2020 is I'd like to love other people like that. As a follower of Jesus, not just as a pastor. So don't think of it in terms of pastor. Think of it in terms of just a follower of Jesus. Like, I want to love people from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. And some of you, if you're like me, might say, well, how does that work? And Paul tells us, I think, gives a little more insight a few verses later. If you look at verse 12, he says this. He says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength to do his work. He considered me trustworthy. He appointed me to serve him, even though I used to blaspheme the name of Christ. In my insolence, I persecuted his people, but God had mercy on me. I did it in ignorance and unbelief. Verse 14 says, oh, how generous and gracious our Lord was. He filled me with the faith and love that comes from Christ Jesus. Verse 15 says, this is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And I'm the worst of them all. But God had mercy on me so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of his great patience with even the worst sinners. Then others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life. Did you see that there? The mission, Paul says, as people do life with him, around him, talk with him, observe him, that as they interact with him, they would see God's patience with us, God's patience with him. They would see God's mercy extended towards us, God's mercy extended towards Paul. That Jesus came into the world to save sinners, that they too, as they interact with him, right? Our aim is we want to love people well. And as you interact with me, as people interact with you, they would be able to see that Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The mission. That's the reason for us we always talk about it, because we don't believe it's just a catchphrase. We believe it's what God's up to in the world. They can. What does Paul say? That they can believe in Jesus Christ and receive eternal life. So for us as followers of Jesus, a passion for the mission of God, because it was his mission that redeemed you, is a way to know that the gospel is shaping you. A passion for the mission of God, because it was his mission that redeemed you, is a way to know that the gospel is shaping you. And my prayer is that that would continue to be the case. That in the midst of a lot of different noise, for us as a church family, that the main thing would continue to be the main thing. Another way that I've been encouraged is that your desire for the Word of God continues to prioritize gathering even when scattered. So during what we'll say is a unique season of not meeting in person like we have for years and years, it has been for me a joy to see so many of you value the teaching of the word, the recalibrating of your heart and mind around truth through worship songs that we sing, devotional guides that have been put out, online worship that's been available every week, outdoor services in 100 degree weather, although we're starting when it's about 77, it's about 82 by the time we're done, but heat index is still 133. We get it. We're thrilled to know that even though we're scattered, we're still gathering in unique ways, some of that through our small groups, our life groups, to learn and grow and to be changed by the Spirit of God through the Word of God. One of the ways this has been an encouragement to me is we as a team, not just me, we as a team have received countless emails, texts, phone calls to our staff team as we've taught through the Psalms in the spring, currently through the Sermon on the Mount, and we're hearing from people about how you have been encouraged, how the Lord is faithful to change lives, whether we're gathered in the same room or across hundreds of living rooms. And like I said, we know life groups are meeting in creative ways. We know they're studying the Word together. Just a snapshot, I don't know all of them. I know currently that there are groups of people across Summit that are getting together to study either the Gospel of John, Colossians, 1 Peter, Job, the book of James. All of that's currently going on. That's just those ones that I'm aware of. That's a snapshot. A love for and a submission to the Word of God is a way to know that the gospel is continuing to shape you. And as I think about ways that I'm praying, so I'm praying that the mission would continue to remain the mission. The main thing would continue to remain the main thing. It's in my prayer journal, but so are a few of these other things. Biblical encouragement, that the Word would continue to be priority number one for us as a church family, continues to be in my prayer journal. I've always longed for that. I've wanted us to be a church that prioritizes the Word and holds it at the center of what we do. But just a frank conversation again with all of you this morning, because we can in this environment, there has never been a time in our 13-year history as a church family that I have found myself more keenly aware of our need to be filling our heart and mind with truth. I feel an incredible burden to pray that the Spirit of God would do what only the Spirit of God can do in drawing people to Himself to hear from Him through the Word of God. It's part of what's been difficult, right? Because a lot of pastors can judge success on the Word, I think at times very wrongly, on how many people show up to listen to them teach the Word. So we want to be committed to do that, right? You walk in this room, we're going to teach the Bible. You come into the parking lot, we're going to talk about Scripture. We're committed to that. But you want to talk about a feeling where all you can do is hit your knees? Well, let your church be scattered in a gazillion different directions over the course of 20 weeks. And process through, in your mind, have you actually built a ministry that is nothing more than people showing up to listen to you teach the Word? Do they know how to feed themselves? Are they feeding themselves? Are they passionate about feeding themselves? I believe that to be the case at Summit. I believe that you are. And I believe that you are. And I love that. But I'm continuing to pray it. And in some ways, it's a really great helpless feeling. Spirit of God, would you do what only you can do in drawing people to yourself to hear from you through the Word today? I pray it. I would love for you as a part of the Summit family to pray that with us in leadership. We're praying that. This past Tuesday, we kicked off our staff meeting. This is what was prayed for. That our people would daily hear from the Spirit of God through the Word of God for themselves. In 2 Timothy, you can turn over there if you want because you're so close. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, again, just scriptures I've been reading and studying. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul says this in verse 16. He says, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong, teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. What a promise! What an invitation! What an opportunity! Do I need that? We need that, right? All Scripture, inspired by God, useful to teach us what is true, to make us realize what is wrong in our lives, corrects us when we're wrong, teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. I asked Glenda if she would take just a moment this morning and do two things. One, share from her own perspective about how she's been encouraged as she has also interacted with the people of Summit. How she's been encouraged about how people are prioritizing the Word of God. And then I asked her if she would also take just a moment and pray over us. Not just those of us in the room, but all of the Summit family, that the Word of God would continue to be a priority. So share that if you would, Glenda. Thank you.
At the beginning of this year, I was with a friend here at Summit in the book of Isaiah, started in chapter 40, and we're about to finish that book. We have two more weeks left in Isaiah. We've taken a chapter a week and we've done the SOAP method, which is, Jason mentioned that in his email recently, and it's easy and it's not difficult and doesn't take a ton of time for you who don't have a lot of time. But that book has been special to me for a long time, but that's been really sweet to be in the Word with her. And then my life group has been studying the book of First Peter together, and we're doing the same thing. We're doing the SOAP method through the book of First Peter. And every week the Lord has used something in First Peter practically in my life. And chapter 2, for instance, chapter 2 talks about submitting to the emperor and all that kind of stuff. And you talk about letting your brain process that in the midst of what we're going through right now. That's huge. I would challenge you to go look up some of the background of First Peter, because those people were under the Emperor Nero, and you know he's the one that burned Christians at the stake. And so that was huge for him to tell them that. Chapter 3 talks about submission, not just to spouses, but to the governing authorities and servants to masters and all that kind of stuff. Chapter 4 was what I was in this week. And I was at my mom's house, and we were working on a t-shirt quilt. And I was on the floor cutting and, you know, doing stuff that she couldn't crawl down on the floor and do at 82. And then I would pass it off to her, and she would go to the sewing machine and sew. And when she was sewing, I would be sitting on the couch reading a book, and I would think, I'm not doing, you know, Mama's in there working, and I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. But 1 Peter 4:10 came to mind, where it says that God has given each of us a gift to serve one another. And I thought, you know that, and I told her, I said, Mama, you know, think about this. This is exactly what the scripture tells us to do. You're doing what you can do, and I'm doing what I can do. And together, we're working to create something. And I know that's just a small thing. It's not huge, but it just tells me again and again how God brings the Word practically into my life, day in and day out. First Peter uses this word over and over, the word precious. And if you're a fan of Lord of the Rings, you got to get that out of your brain right now. Okay. But I've thought about that word precious a lot, cherished and loved. When something is precious to you, you just want to hold it close. And every morning when I sit down to read my Bible and pray, I pick up my Bible and I just hold it. And I'm just silent with it for a few minutes before I open it, because that's what the Word is to me. And it's a precious thing. And I could go on and on. When somebody's lived as long as I have, I could go on and on about how that Word has ministered to me through all the years. And I won't do that. But let me just encourage you to be in the Word every day, because it is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and it will teach you and grow you and change you. Let's pray. Father, your Word is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. When we take the time to put it in our hearts, you help us turn away from sin. Father, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's just so amazing. And I can't thank you enough for that. Isaiah and 1 Peter tells us that grass will flee and go away, but your word will remain forever. And that word is the good news that was preached to us, the good news that was preached to me. I ask you, Lord, as we open your word every day, that we would open it with joy, we would open it obediently, that we would open it prayerfully, that we would open it expectantly, that we would open it knowing that you're going to speak to us and you're going to use it somehow this week in our lives. I pray that we would open it with one another, Father, that we would not just let this be all about me and what I can do with you every morning, but it would be something that I share with other people and process through with other people and think about. I pray that for us, Lord. I pray that your word would become so precious to us that the first thought when our feet hit the ground every morning, I can't wait to go sit with Jesus this morning. That's what I pray, Lord, that we would just be so consumed and so overwhelmed with your word that that is our first thought every single morning. And I just love you, Lord. I thank you. I just thank you for all the things you've done in my life. It took me a while to get to this point, Lord, you know, because you're constantly every day working. And I just cannot thank you enough for that. And I pray that you would help these people, Lord, to come to know, if they don't already, the joy of your word in their heart and in their lives. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Thanks, Glenda. Another way my heart has been encouraged is observing your love for each other and how it has led to humbly deferring and patiently listening. And I've alluded to this already, but also intentionally connecting. I think in this season, I'll call it a volatile season again, we've once again been reminded that we need, as followers of Jesus, we need not fear nor win the argument in a culture that is constantly telling us to fear and win the argument. Our prayer for unity within our local church family, continues. We're thankful for how the Lord's answered our prayers. I've said this before, I'll say it again today. Unity does not mean everyone has to agree with every decision that we make in leadership. We know some disagree with some of the decisions we've made. My guess is if you continue to worship here, you'll have that opportunity again in the future. And at the same time, there's been this humility, there's been this patience, there's been this staying connected to the mission of the church that the people of Summit have exemplified on the whole. That really has allowed us to navigate these uncharted waters, I would say honestly, as a team, with joy and peace and confidence, not just as a staff team. I notice it. I observe it in the life of our congregations. Humbly walking with your brothers and sisters in Christ who may have a difference of opinion on things that aren't the main things is a way to know that the gospel is shaping you. I'll say it again. Humbly walking with your brothers and sisters in Christ who may have a difference of opinion on things that aren't the main thing is a way to know that the gospel is shaping you. It's interesting that Glenda referenced governing authorities from 1 Peter. And that is a book we actually taught through a couple years ago, not even that long ago, right, Kyle Caton? Like, we taught through that, and I think all that's still online. There was a lot going on culturally. But also in what I've been reading in 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, Paul writes Titus, if you have your Bibles, you can just flip over there, in Titus chapter 3, he wrote these challenging words to Titus. Titus 3, actually starting there in verse 1. Remind the believers to submit to the government and its officers. They should be obedient, always ready to do what is good. They must not slander anyone and must avoid quarreling. Instead, they should be gentle and show true humility to everyone. Once we too were foolish and disobedient, we were misled and became slaves to many lusts and pleasures. Our lives were full of evil and envy, and we hated each other. Verse 4, but when God our Savior revealed his kindness and love, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth, a new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ our Savior. Because of his grace, he made us right in his sight and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. He gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. That's a game changer. For what? For everything. It's definitely a game changer in how we relate and interact with one another. We should be known as gentle and showing humility. This hasn't been the case at Summit. I want to speak to it, though, because it's been the case in a lot of other places. Please don't allow a piece of cloth to become a dividing point amongst brothers and sisters in Christ and or loving your community. I've seen churches ripped apart by this already, some of them pretty close to me. I've had conversations with elder boards that after elder meetings have had to call more elder meetings so that the elders can apologize to each other for what they said to each other about a piece of cloth. I want to be super clear, because I know everyone hears it a little differently. Masks are not mandated. Okay? There's no mandate. There's no state mandate. There's no city mandate. There's no in here that you have at church that you have to wear a mask. So it's fine. For some of you, the line of thinking of there may be some in our midst who may be sick, so I'll wear a mask. Because surely we wouldn't say, well, if you're sick, you just need to stay home. I mean, surely we would want people to feel like they could come be a part of the service if they wanted to be, no matter what their health condition. And then factually, they do know that some people can carry the virus and not know they carry the virus, so it could be spread asymptomatically. I don't know how often that happens. All that'll come out over time. I do want you to know that we've got some really good people that are a part of Summit that are doctors, and they really love Summit, and they love worshiping together, and they love us coming together to worship. And so I see it as the kindness of the Lord that he's allowed doctors and nurses to be a part of our church family. One of the leading infectious disease doctors in all of Spartanburg attends Summit Malden. And man, I'm super thankful. Because if you don't think that I feel over my head, you're sadly mistaken. But we also know that people have reasons why they can't legitimately wear a mask, and that's okay too. So you can worship here without wearing a mask. That's okay. It's not a he's right, he's wrong, he's right, she's wrong. For some of you, I just need you to know this. If it's not the sickness side of it, maybe I could speak to you on the liability side of it. Maybe that would be more interesting to you. There's liability things that we have to be aware of as a church. So the X's that you see, that's liability. This sign, It's nothing more than liability. Well, Jason, what do you mean? We've had calls with state officials that have said, you can meet. We're not stopping you from meeting. You don't have to have everybody wear a mask that comes in the building. You do need to have things in place that are proper protocols so that if someone were to get sick on your facility, you could prove in a court of law. And some of you would go, well, no one would ever sue. Right. So, right. This is some of the issues that a lot of people are dealing with this right now. And we're dealing with it too as a church. That if something were to be brought against us, we could say reasonably and truthfully, we had things in place. So that's what you see. The X's are not fear. I want to be super clear. This isn't because I'm scared. You go, why would you address that? Because I've had people ask me, are you making decisions that you're making because you're afraid? So I come back to this verse about treating people with humility, because there's other things I want to say in that moment. So, as you talk with people and you interact with people and you discuss protocols that we have in place for this season, just know we want to love people well. We want everybody to feel welcome, right? We're not the mask police. I don't want to be that. And at the same time, we need to have some things in place. We just do. And that's part of the journey we're on right now. As I read these scriptures, I'm reminded of, one, what we're called to, and two, the beauty of what I've observed and seen within the people of Summit. That unity has been in our midst, that unity will continue to be in our midst as we continue to make the main thing the main thing. I asked, if you would, James Young, to pray for us this morning. One of the things that I've asked James to pray is that what we've experienced to this point would continue to be experienced, and that is unity amongst brothers and sisters as we keep the main thing the main thing. Thanks, man. Use that mic.
You know, this has not been an easy time, and it's been very difficult not being able to see your faces every week. And there's been so much, I guess the term would be consternation, online and in public, really. I mean, I've been one of the lucky ones that's been able to go to work every day at the office because I'm essential. But I had the choice to stay home and work from home. But things being what they are with the internet in my section of the county, I chose to go to work. But it has given me the opportunity to be out of the house and kind of follow a normal routine. Certainly we see the disagreement even among peers at work, and we have people, some of the people at work that have loved ones that are have various health concerns so there's been an ongoing debate about what needs to be done, but as it is, we still come to work and we still do what we have to do. And Milliken has been one of the most, I think, most conservative as far as the approach they've taken to the coronavirus. And we've, from what I understand, our protocol is something like 95 pages long. And if you understand Milliken, then you understand where we come from. We're gonna have everything covered, every angle. Just from the legal standpoint, but through it all, we still are moving forward, and I think that it's never been a thing about fear. I think it's been a thing about liability, and we want to do what's best for everybody. So let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, you're full of mercy and grace. You've blessed your people. You've blessed this nation for many years. You've brought so many people from so many different areas of the world to this area and to this nation. And we've thrived on the diversity. We've thrived on the ability to get along and to have a focus, a national intent, a national personality. And that was driven by a love for you initially. And I pray that as we've come through the years, yes, we've fallen, we've made mistakes. We've had occurrences where compromise led to situations where people were not treated equally. We've had times where we've failed to do what your word tells us to do. Even today, we have issues because sin is in the world and sin abounds. And as I was reading or hearing this morning, Billy Graham had once said that until people come to know you, things will continue to follow the pattern of sin. And the more people that we can lead to you, the better the world's going to become. And as a team at Summit, as a believer here, I pray that each of us would take that upon ourselves to be that one that goes to someone they don't, or someone they know that doesn't know you, or goes to somebody they don't even know that might not know you. I pray that you would just bless us and help us to seek those that don't know you, that we would be willing to humble ourselves and take the opportunity to be led by you, to reach out in this time this seems like it's been made even more difficult to reach out because there's more between us. There's masks. There's racial divide. There's consternation with government. There's so many different things that seem to be chaos that drive us apart. There's the lack of frequent person-to-person relationship or togetherness. And it's something that requires us to go the extra mile to reach out. And Father, I just pray that you would help us to be creative, that you would help us to find those ways to continue to connect both with those that we consider our close friends and also with those that maybe we've seen, we have acquaintances with them, but we haven't taken the opportunity in the recent weeks to connect with them and check on them. Many have health issues that leave them in fear of even leaving the house because they don't know who's out there and what they're going to be doing and whether they're going to be wearing a mask or whether they're going to keep their distance or whatever. And Lord, I pray for them, and I pray that we would be a family that would reach out to those and encourage them and check on them. Help us as a church body to be outgoing, to be considerate, to be loving and compassionate, to share your love frequently, both verbally and physically, through our words and our actions. And I thank you for your patience and your mercy and your grace. You have been so good And I just pray that you would help us to live out that love and compassion and mercy and grace each day to those around us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. I have one other thing, and we'll be done for this morning. Just one final way I've been incredibly encouraged, and I'm continuing to pray, and that is the Summit family has continued to be incredibly generous. It's a lean season in a lot of ways, but it's been humbling to be a part of a church family that continues to live with their hands open because they've continued to grow in gospel-motivated generosity. So even through the spring, the 20 weeks that it's been, we've continued to meet budget. And this isn't just a budget update. It actually speaks, I believe, to a growing understanding that everything we've been given is from Him and should be stewarded towards kingdom purposes. As a church, we've never been program-focused, but we would also say that our regular rhythms of church life have changed a good bit over the last 20 weeks, and yet your generosity, our generosity, our collective generosity has continued. Not necessarily because of what we're getting during this season, but because of what we already have in Him. And I think that's been beautiful. Again, I can't speak for all the other churches that I have relationship with on how they're doing, but we've been able to support missions organizations. There's been 3 different organizations where we've been able to continue to help feed orphans across the globe because of your generosity. There's been a couple of our missionaries that have lost support during the season that we've been able to up their support because of our continued generosity. And so I just want to, if I get the opportunity today, tell you what I'm thankful for. That's one of the things I'm incredibly thankful for, is that Summit has continued to be generous. Again, 1 Timothy in chapter 6, Paul tells Timothy this in verse 17. He says, "Teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud, not to trust in their money," which is so unreliable. "Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works, generous to those in need, always ready to share with others. And by doing this, they will be storing up their treasure as a good foundation for the future so that they may experience true life." Who does Paul sound like there? Jesus. Where did we hear Jesus talking about this? Sermon on the Mount that we've also been studying through on Sunday mornings. Get in on kingdom things. The Lord knows what your things are. Store up for yourself treasures in heaven, not here. So I just wanted to thank you all for your generosity. And I asked Ryan if he would to come up. And he's going to pray here that generosity would continue to abound amongst all of us as a Summit family, that when we collectively live with our hands open, we can do the things that the Lord has called us to do. So thanks for praying for this, man.
Let's pray. Lord, I'm extremely encouraged just from hearing about our congregation. Lord, it is a blessing to be among a congregation that we continue to hear how the Lord is using us. Lord, I'm so grateful for the generosity that we're able to continue to support missionaries and continue to support those who are in need. We know it's been a tough time for many people, Lord, and I'm just grateful for those who have continued to be faithful to you, for as you have been faithful to us. As I sit here, I'm just so thankful for myself, because in a time when you know, as a teacher, I was out of school, but Lord, it was just an amazing blessing to be able to be home with my newborn son, and Lord, just being able to recognize that blessing, Lord, is just encouraging me and my family to continue giving. Lord, I'm just continuing grateful for those who give their time, they give up their talents and their resources, so that we can continue to fulfill our mission as we reach to share the gospel with every man, woman, and child, Lord. I'm just so thankful for that mission statement in our church, as we'll continue to be a pressing upon our hearts to continue to share our resources for those who who don't know you. And Lord, I'm so thankful for, again, to be a part of a community and a church that is continuing to recognize the blessings that you've given us and to give back to you. Pray these things in your name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. For more information about Summit Upstate and other available resources, check out our website at summitupstate.org.